Hey there, fellow nerds and ne'er-do-wells, and welcome to a brand new section in the Adventurers Anonymous podcast that I am going to call Off the Wagon, because I can't think of a better name. Where we...
Pretty good.
Oh, he's already spoiled it. You see, you've already heard his voice, listeners. What I was going to say is we're going to do a one-on-one mini little interview before some of the episodes where we're going to dig into some of the characters.
With Chris Neal. Hi.
You need to be much more whiny and grumpy to be Chris Neal.
Stop gaslighting me. No, apologies to Chris.
No apologies to Chris. He's not here yet, listeners. He'd be so angry. As you've already heard the voice of Mr. Matt Durant coming to you live and direct from the mystical lands of Finland, I thought we'd have a one-on-one very quickly before the other players arrive on Belsia. So, Mr. Durant, in 30 seconds or less, describe to the listeners just who Belsia is.
Belsia is a shy crocodile. He's crushed by his daddy issues.
Oh.
He's unable to form meaningful relationships with his romantic interests. He's very powerful in the magics, but perhaps not in the right direction.
Okay. And for any first-time listeners, Belsiar's a crocoborn. Now, people will be aware of dragonborns. What's the difference, other than the obvious, between a crocoborn and a dragonborn?
They're a bit more, I think... I don't know. There's something unmistakably regal about a dragon, but a crocodile
sits in the mud.
Basically, just sits in shit all day. Can't walk and like. I mean, I guess that says a lot. Like a crocodile, you have to respect it, but also if it runs, it just looks silly.
Oh, I see.
Maybe that says a lot about Belsiar, I think.
Hmm.
Like or flip it around. He's kind of comical, but also he can just melt people if he needs to.
So it is interesting. Somehow, when we were crafting the rules of this, we accidentally left the breath weapon in, and that's sort of just become canon now. I've never challenged it, and I never will. I do find it funny though. It's like a fire breathing crocodile, but I'm here for that. Okay, moving swiftly on into the next question. Before all the other players turn up and ruin this for everyone, what would you say is Belsiar's best quality?
I think he carries a strong sense of, I think I'd say some kind of justice. Like, I think in my backstory headcanon, he comes from, I think, wealth and kind of institutional wealth and privilege and kind of, the fantasy plantation, basically.
The fantasy plantation.
And I think he's taken that, and now he wants to partly start as kind of just rebelling against his parents, but has also turned into something a bit more genuine, where he just wants to actually right wrongs and serve justice.
Quick side question that I hadn't actually penned, but I'm going to ask anyway. You're a vampire. Obviously, not you, Matt, but Belsiar is. What would Belsiar's dad think if he knew that his son was a vampire now? Think he'd be supportive, or do you think he'd be disappointed?
No, I think he'd be the most disappointed he possibly ever could be.
Oh.
But I think if and when that moment comes, I think Belsiar will find that to be very freeing, that the relationship stat is at zero, that's what he was fearing, but that's... that has happened, and he's still a vampire, and he's still rocking it.
Following on from our previous question, what's Belsiar's worst habit?
Killing his lovers.
True, yes. Since becoming
killing
a
his
vampire.
Darlings.
Yeah. Oh, I see. You're familiars. You have a bad track record with killing pets. Yes, it's true.
Killing everyone who has shown him kindness, I think. Leaving their fate. There was Thingy in the prison. There were the otters.
Yes.
Potato is only alive because he's a magically animated potato. Otherwise, he would be dead.
If we go back to yesteryear, I believe you killed a family of otters who were in your possession once. Mm-hmm. You found a romantic interest in prison and had to shiver to death with a sharpened thigh bone. I think you went on a date with Algarundi and... possibly burned him alive. And yeah, obviously your potato has come to harm. You've got an animated potato, we should say, listeners. If you're not aware who Potato is, listeners, when we talk about him in the podcast, he is the product of dark magic. He was a baked potato who was animated using necromantic sorcery. And basically has followed Belsia around, seeing Belsia. I think he sees you more as a father figure, I would say, rather than a master. But
yeah, it's a complex. I could write a book about that.
I think we could. And before all the other players turn up and ruin our little party here, just to finish up, what's Belsia's message to all the fans out there?
Well, hello there, girls and boys.
Should have been an old-time crooner.
Blah. Hi, kids and adults who follow my adventures. Don't forget to brush your teeth, like the crocodiles that have teeth. Keep them shining bright.
Wow.
And howdy ho.
Now I want to see the spin-off adventures where, do you know, you've talked a little bit about what Belsia will do. I mean, we're winding down on this campaign now, but I now want to see him as a dentist. I never realised I did until you said that. I now want to...
Yeah, just a really awkward dentist.
Yeah, just a really, really awkward dentist, like necromantic crocodile dentist. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Before we crash on with the rest of the episode, any last words from you, Matt, if you are indeed able to separate yourself from your character at this point?
I mean, you can't. It's like Daniel Day-Lewis. I just merge into Belsia.
It's amazing how he gets brought up so much as the paragon of acting within this podcast. Other actors are available.
He's just a go-to.
He is.
Martin Sheen. There's a funny story about Michael Stipe and Martin Sheen at a dentist.
Mm.
And if anyone writes in with that story,
yes, and
they can win a T-shirt.
Yes, and I thought, do you remember yesteryear we used to tell us like tales of your great grandfather who was like drunk and disorderly in possession of a.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be like a crossover between your great grandfather and Martin Sheen, and there was going to be some amazing like.
Well, I am related to Dick Van Dyke.
Shut the fuck up. You can't drop that shit as we're wrapping up Off the Wagon. We're going to have to save that for next Off the Wagon with you. You are related to Amelia Clark, aren't you?
Not really.
What? You've been lying to me.
I'm related to her by marriage.
Sorry, I've just heard. Our lawyers have said you might want to just clarify that.
Amelia Clark's my granddad's... first wife's third cousin, twice removed.
Ah, sure. She'd turn up at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Do you exchange presents at Christmas, or just more like a Thanksgiving kind of thing?
Just cards, really. Yeah.
Okay.
Might send a text just like,
Saw
you in Solo, didn't think it was great.
Wow, I thought you were going to say saw you in Aldi. Oh, like, you know, saw you in Tesco's. Just, you know.
So, I don't think she goes to Aldi.
No, I don't think so either. Clearly more of a Sainsbury's girl. Right. There we go, listeners. That was Off the Wagon. That was the very first ever Off the Wagon. And what a little treat that was. That's been Matt Durant, the voice of Belsia. And without further ado, let's crack on with the episode.
Boo 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 doo boo doo. Well, hello there, fellow nerds and ne'er-do-wells. I'm AJ, and we're here for another episode of Adventurers Anonymous. You've heard his voice. It's Matt Durant, the voice of Belsia.
Hi, everybody.
And we're also joined by our very own Chris Ragg.
Hello.
And last but not least, you've seen his sex tips book.
I don't want to see Chris Neal's sex tip. That is something I never want to see. Oh, God. It'd just be like a little lipstick. Oh, nobody, like a dog's penis. Nobody wants to see that. It's so easy to character assassinate people whilst they're not here, listeners.
It really is, and they'll never hear it.
And they'll never hear this. And, of course, it'll probably be... people in years to come will say, how was it that Chris Neal split? with Adventurers Anonymous after three happy years. And it'll be this episode where, where we talked about his sex tip. Right.
And they all made fun of Ringo.
Yeah. Okay, let's just draw a line under this debacle before we get cancelled. Hopefully other people are going to be arriving soon. Picking back up with the storyline, last we left off with our intrepid adventurers, they had found themselves in the Busty Barnacle Inn, having gone on a shopping excursion and discovered along the way, Tati discovered that there was indeed a wanted poster for the crunk fuckers, each and every one of them called out by Oberon with a 10,000 gold piece reward for them for crimes against elfin heritage. Having pontificated about all the different ways that they could escape the inn, they were brought the news from Toadflaps that three elves had appeared downstairs, answering the call, presumably one of the patrons of the bar having turned them in.
I swear to God, if Civet turned us in, I will revolt.
Well, your planning took so long, you sent the two lackeys of Belciar off, Jeffrey and Peter. Unfortunately, that plan did not work so well, because moments later they came running back, telling you that the elven gentlemen were mounting the stairs just behind them. As you barricaded yourself in the room, you can hear the smashing at the door as the elves attempt to breach your attic room in the Busty Barnacle Inn. And that is where we are going to pick back up, listeners, with the exciting action as I give the players a map. We're currently using the map feature on D&D Beyond. And last night, I might have knocked you together a map. Unfortunately, I wasn't sure where you were going to be, so I had to make about four maps to cover off every fucking eventuality of where you might get to. Luckily, it paid dividends. No, that's copyrighted, Chris. You can't sing Shanice. Mm. I love your smile. If Hall & Oates are going to come after us...
That's what it is.
Shanice is definitely going to come after us. There we go.
Thank you, boss man.
Thank you, Dungeon Daddy.
Okay, there we go. I have just shared the map link with you. As you can see, when you load up on D&D Beyond... That's a bit of a plug for D&D Beyond. They probably don't need our help. But using the new
nice map
mechanic, I have drawn the attic of the Busty Barnacle Inn using Dungeon Alchemist. If you've never used Dungeon Alchemist before, I highly recommend you invest some pennies in it.
Ooh.
That looks sick.
So many pixels.
Thank you.
I'm zoomed in 500%.
If I could have one gripe, D&D Beyond, why the fuck don't you have a counter for an elf? I had to use a goblin and rename it as an elf. But...
Whoa.
There we go. So the three things that look suspiciously like goblins that are called elf 1, 2, and 3, well, they're elf 1, 2, and 3. You'll have to take my word for it. Okay. How are we doing, players? Are you ready for some fun?
We're ready. Ye boy.
Listeners, are you ready?
I'm just watching the tokens getting renamed. Yeah, I had to know this was going to happen.
Right, could you please, I will say, just for the sake of fairness, I just plonked those counters down wherever you want. Can you please move the counters on the map wherever you want to be?
Okay.
God damn it.
Can you stop renaming it Elf Prick and can you put the elves back, please?
This is very substitute teacher energy.
It is. Now rename the fucking elves to Elf 1, 2, and 3. Otherwise, I will make them considerably harder than they need to be. Okay.
Guys, we had homework. Guys, did no one do their homework? Big substitute teacher energy.
Big substitute teacher energy as I wheel in a ginormous TV and a VCR player.
Yeah.
Right. Before we kick off, why have you renamed Hanash Big Dick Energy? I mean, call him whatever you want. Such a loser.
That's his name.
Right, Big Dick Energy. I have to ask, before you kick off, who is going to roll for Maud and who's going to roll for Aristobulus?
I can do those.
Okay. Mr. Neil, do you want to add can you add extra tokens? If you can you add one for a wolf?
Yes, I will try.
I can do it while you're doing character sheets, if you want.
Perfect. I will edit this out the podcast and no one will ever know that I forgot Barbara.
Barbara is the Aboleth.
Whatever you want.
I only have access to one thing, so we've got to make do.
It's fine, I've got it.
Excellent. Why is Barbara so big?
How do you scale them?
Okay, come on, we got a lot to get through, and if any of you want to live and see your loved ones, let's get going. Right, I'm gonna need initiative from each of you, please. How the fuck did two of the elves roll the same initiative? The chances are that. Okay.
1 in 40.
About that. fuck off, math. Nobody likes statistics.
Fuck off.
Fuck off. No one likes math.
It's not do maths time. Yeah. It's roll dice and add them together time.
As Han Solo once said, never tell me the odds, kid. I don't know why I did that in a Yorkshire coal miner accent.
All right, never told me the odds, kid.
All right, pal.
All right, pal. I'll see thee down the working man's club.
25 to 20.
Tati got a 23 initiative.
As did Elf 1. So, roll me a d20 quickly.
18.
You beat the elf. So, Tati goes first. Elf 1 goes afterwards. Right, 15 to 20.
Aristobulus got 18.
All right. 10 to 15?
Yes. 10.
Elf 2 and 3 both got 14. And then we're going with Belsia. 5 to 10.
Maud got an 8. Sorry.
0 to 5, Hanash? So Maud and then Hanash. So, listeners, players, before we kick off, the running order. Top, Tati. Then Elf 1, then Aristobulus, then Elf 2, then Elf 3, then Belsia, then Maud, then Hanash. For the sake of the lack of complication, I'm going to say that Geoffrey and Peter are just hiding underneath beds. They're not much use as combatants and are not going to be joining in too much on all of this. Okay, top of the round. Two gentlemen banging on the door, trying to get in. Tati, what are you doing?
How does the door look? Does it look like it's holding, or are they like breaking it open?
No, it's just got a rudimentary lock on it. It's just got a latch. You can bolt it from the inside.
I'm trying to decide whether to just throw a stick of dynamite at them.
Oh, love that.
Just fucking one and done them. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fire an arrow at the door. I'm going to fire one warning shot into the door, and I'm going to say, occupied, please leave. We are not the people that you're looking for. We didn't commit those crimes. I would say more, but now I feel like I'm talking myself into disadvantage for whatever deception check is about to come up as well.
You see, you also shot the door.
Yeah, I shot the door.
Make me an attack roll against the door.
That's a nat 20.
A nat 20.
This is a different dice as well. I made sure to use a different dice.
Roll me some damage. Do you want to put Hunter's Mark on the door too?
sneak attack the door. It never
saw sneak
you.
Attack the door. The bed is in combat with the door, so...
Can I sneak attack the door? Is that how it works?
No, you can't sneak attack the door. 8.7 million listeners are groaning.
That's good. It's good that I have limits. 17 damage.
17 points of damage. You blow one of the panels out of the door as it turns to splinters. It's got like four quadrants on it. As your arrow massively over-engineering the shot, you see splinters fly out as you just see an elfin face duck back into view, looking through one of the panels, as you hear him say, "Ah, gentlemen, we have business."
Why do you sound so confident? You can't try and bang down a door and then sound aloof. It just doesn't work. And then I'm going to try and try and hide behind the fireplace. Such a bad turn.
As you duck behind the fireplace, it is now Elf 1's turn as you see him pop up in the panel of the door. So if you imagine the door has a bit like sort of a classical door, like the one behind me, has those little panels, like one of the rectangular panels in the door is smashed out. You see him pop out. You see eyes quickly scanning the room as he looks at the various people. The first person he lays eyes on is you, Belciar, as you're just standing in the middle of the room, looking like a lemon. As he reaches into his pouch, pulls out something. You can't move yourself now, Belciar. I see what you're doing, sneaky. As he pulls something, put yourself back. Cheating is ridiculous here, listeners. He's trying to retcon. As he pulls something out of his pouch and hurls it into the room, getting a dirty 20. Belciar, you see something shatter on your chest, shards of glass hitting the floor as water trickles down your chest, smoke suddenly rising off yourself. You realize he's thrown a jar of holy water at you as your skin starts burning.
No, that's my weakness. Curse my vampiric ways.
You take 8 points of radiant damage from the holy water as your skin starts burning.
Just around the table talk. I've used all of my spell slots, but I can't remember when, and I think I've had a long rest since whenever the last time I did these things.
Yeah, you must have.
You would have, yes.
I would have been carried in a coffin at least.
That must have been like the dragon fight, I would think.
Yeah, maybe it was.
Yeah, because we rotated rests on the way back to Nicodranas.
You did, yeah.
Okay. I'll reset myself and then take 8. Was it 8 points?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Ow!
But remember, since then you have taken 3 points of fire damage from the sun in your coffin when it was burning up your inner thigh.
Oh, yes, that's true.
I just want to keep you honest. So you've taken that's 8 points good. Of radiant no, damage and 3 points of fire damage from the sun burning up.
Oh, and I did use detect thoughts as well. And that's it, I think.
All right. So that's the elf's action as he uses the rest of his movement to duck back out of the way of the door. And we move on to the next person on the order, which is Aristobulus.
And of course, I have made sure to familiarise myself with Aristobulus's character sheet. Ooh, he's added all his third and fourth level spells. This is exciting. Okay, sorry. I'm here. I'm in the room. Aristobulus is going to clap his hands together. You couldn't see him actually like holding anything in his hands, but it does seem to make a noise when he rubs his hands together and throw his hands out in front of him. What else? But a spectral blue phallus appears in front of the door, and he's going to use it to attack the door.
Okay. You see almost like a swirling blue vortice within the room as the giant girthy blue rod, thick with veins, appears through the vortex. Now, what god it comes from, you're not quite sure, but something on the spiritual plane is excitable. As you see the girthy shaft come into reality, the first thing you notice is that it just pushes, it's like a little sort of like candles on a candelabra hanging from the ceiling, as it's just slightly nudged out the way by the top of the shaft. As the shaft just moves through the middle of the room, the sack underneath it just pushing the bearskin rug to one side as it hammers like a cosh on the door. I need you to make an attack roll on the door, please.
That is a 24 to hit.
That definitely hits a door. Do me some damage.
And that is 6 damage.
6 damage. Smashing into the door, you see the hinges creak and buck and warp. The door is hanging on by a thread as a blue phallus blocks the door.
And then... Nope, I'm thinking of Baldur's Gate 3 rules and I'm trying to cast 2 spells in a round. That will not do.
Ooh.
Aristobulus is gonna... Did you say that there's now a hole in the door where Tati shot through it? Aristobulus is going to take out his hand crossbow and he's going to fire at it. See if he can hit someone. Who knows?
Are you aiming at the door or the hole in the door?
The hole in the door.
All right.
He got a nat 20.
You got a nat 20?
A different set of dice. I've got 3 sets of dice and I'm using different dice for everybody.
Okay. I'm going to say on a nat 20, thank you for showing me what a 20 looks like on the dice. I'm going to say on a lucky ricochet, he hits one of the elves crouched down. It bounces off the wall opposite and blats into the elf. As you hear a groan, I need you to make me an attack on the arrow, please.
Yes. 2d6 plus 1. 6 damage.
Okay, 6 damage, thank you. As you hear a groan on the other side of the door, as you just hear a voicing, "Lucky bastard."
Fuck you. He meant to say that when the dick hit the door. Sorry. Yeah. What's going on, guys? Where is he? Yeah, he can stay in that corner. He's fine. That's Aristobulus's turn.
Okay, it's elf number 2 who's been shot in the shoulder. As you see somebody barge into the door using their action, you see the door turning into just falling off its remaining hinge as you get a quick flash of an elf with an arrow sticking out of his shoulder through the black leather armor. He's just holding onto it, scowling at you as he backs back round the door. The door is now gone. There's now a free way through the door. That is the end of Elf 2's go. Elf number 3, now looking through the wreckage of the door, peeking around the edge of a giant spiritual blue phallus. Elf number 2 looks around, trying to gauge what's going on. The first person he's going to see is Belcia, and he is going to use Command Spell. You need to make a Wisdom 14 saving throw.
Don't make me the indignity.
It's just flagrant racism.
Okay, that's a 13.
Okay.
Vampire thing.
Oh shit, the spell has no effect if the target is undead.
Oh, so, yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Well, fucker wrote the command rules. Unbelievable, Wizards of the Coast, you absolute twats. Oh well, thank you very much.
Shout out to Wizards of the Coast. Thank you for the game system.
Unbelievable. Command doesn't work on the undead, listeners. What a waste of a thing. As you feel something trying to invade your mind, but being that your brain no longer has blood pumping around it and is being held together by necromantic dark magic, nothing happens. God, these elves are somewhat right. He's going to getting agitated that nothing's happening. He's going to lean in. He's going to look at Aristobulus, who shot his friend, and he's going to fire a shot with his short bow across the room at Aristobulus in revenge for his friend. Fuck me. He gets a 6. As an arrow just twats into the wall behind Aristobulus' head and just goes, as Aristobulus is like, "Whoa, man, that's way too close."
I like how Aristobulus is sounding way more like a hippie recently. whoa, man.
Whoa, dude. That's like totally bogus.
Whoa.
yeah, as the arrow just hits above Thomas the Tank. What, Thomas Tank Engine? What the fuck am I talking about? I went into a Brummy accent there. How many drugs have I taken? As the arrow hits the wall above Aristobulus's head and just goes, wada, 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 wada. It is now Bilsiar's turn.
Yes.
Having unsuccessfully been commanded, what are you going to do?
I immediately pull out my wand of fireballs.
Yes.
And I say, Infernum Fireballus. And shoot a fireball at the elves, who I assume are all engulfed in flaming death. As long as they make a dexterity 14 saving throw.
Okay. Elf 1 gets 15. Elf 2 gets 11. Elf 3 also gets 11. So Elf 1 passes, I believe. And Elf 2 and 3 fail.
Yes, that's half damage.
Okay, shout me out some damages.
What's the distance again? I want to check if I'm in fire range or not.
20 feet. So I think you're just outside.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, let's go with that. I'm just outside range.
Yeah.
As you watch the bed literally explode into kindling, and Ash, you're just showered in flaming matchsticks.
Each person takes up like a five foot square, so it's like where if he aims for where Elf 3 is with the door open, like that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Run up some. So it's 27 total. So
27 total. Yeah.
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 Elf 1 passed, taking 27 points of damage.
Wait, if he passed, no,
if he takes half damage.
Takes half damage. Sorry, yeah. My brain's a little bit. So what's that? 27, 13, 13. 27 points of damage. Fucking hell. Hang on, one sec. Sorry, my basic maths is failing me on the spot. I've only got a degree in maths, listeners. This is embarrassing. I'm having to use a calculator to do basic maths. It was worse than I thought. Fucking hell, Elf 2 is looking grim. Okay, yep, I've got that. So, reaching your wand, the fireball flying out of it, hitting the gap in the door, everything goes bright white. All of you grab your eyes for a moment, feeling the warmth of the explosion on your cheeks. Hanash, you're just showered in bits of flaming bed, kindling, matchsticks, and half a flaming mattress landing on top of you as you're pushed back onto the wall. Bilsiar, you just open your eyes with a massive grin on your face. As you look up, you just see where the wall was. There's just a massive flaming wreckage as you see the elves are, you know, picking themselves back off the floor. Elf number 2 in particular, looking particularly wounded. The side of his face, like, melting. One of his eyes slightly ruined from the fire. It is now Maud's go. Unless you have other things you wish to do, Bilsiar.
I don't want to take too big a...
Go all out just this once.
I was really not a fan of whichever elf cast command on me.
3.
So I'd like to use my vampiric multi-attack and just run up to him and just bite him.
Have at it.
So that's a 19 to hit.
19 to hit. Yes, that would hit.
And that does 1d6 plus 4. So it's 7 piercing damage plus...
Yep.
14 necrotic damage.
Oh my god.
Woo!
And this is with your T, so 7 piercing damage and 14 necrotic damage.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. As you sprint across the room, almost preternaturally, Hanash, Tati, you just see the blur that was this crocodile spinning across the room. There was nothing more terrifying than watching an undead crocodile biting someone's neck. It is not a beautiful thing to behold. As you see the elf trying to grapple with him as this giant maw of teeth just wraps around his neck and you hear a crunching noise. As a scream, a gurgle lets loose from the elf that attempted to command him, as blood is flowing over the lips and chin, over the alabaster skin of the elf. He's hanging on to life, as you can see the necrotic wounds on his neck are opening up. Belcio, is that your go, Dom?
Yeah, I'll leave it there.
Okay, Modern Nightmares is up.
Okay, cool. Maud is going to move out slightly from the side of the room, and she's going to cast Entangle on the square just outside the door. So that's a 20-foot cube. So I think it should get all three of them.
Do you have some sort of safe spell mechanism where you're not going to get Belciar in this?
I mean, basically, I can just push it.
I got you. Push the cube back. So
past the... Yeah.
I'll say, not that it would reflect on the map, but you've blown the door and most of the wall around the door away. So where it looks like Belciar is impeding the door, there's a lot more of wall cavity that's been blown away around the outside from the fireball. So yes, I will say that is a possibility. What is it, a saving throw for the elves?
It is. They need to beat a 13 strength saving throw.
Okay. Elf number one gets a 12. Elf number two gets an 8. Elf number three gets a 9. All three of them fail.
Okay.
Why?
They are all restrained, which means I know attacks against them have advantage, for one thing.
Hold on, I've got it. A restrained creature's speed becomes 0, and it can't benefit from any bonus to its speed. Attack rolls against creature when restrained have advantage, and the creature's attack rolls have disadvantage, and the creature has disadvantage on dexterity saving throws. Can the elves attempt to disentangle themselves on their turn?
Yes, a creature restrained by the plants can use its action to make a strength check against your spell save DC. On a success, it frees itself.
Right, so all three of the elves wrapped up in vines, you see them, even the one that's sort of gurgling blood out the front of its mouth, slowly, in like almost on death's door. You see them just stretching. You see the look of fury on their face as green vines wrap around them, restraining them in the blazing wreckage of the doorway. Any more from Maud, or are we going to Hunash?
I don't think that she has... let me just see. I don't think she has any bonus actions. Nope. That's all good.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome to the Necromantic Empire. To the Necromantic Empire
is an RPG podcast where we get to view what it's like to be an NPC as they work for the evil boss trying to take over the world. And join us as we follow these spell components through their daily work regimen. The Necromantic Empire is available on Spotify, Apple, Audible, and more. You can find the Necromantic Empire on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and Reddit. Check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/timeofyourhalflife.
We appreciate you.
Okay, Mr. Hunash, time to unleash hell.
It's time. Right, so I'm going to run up to elf number two, or will that give an opportunity to attack to elf number three? Or can I just get... I'll go for elf number two. I'm going to go for that, and I'm going to use my Morning Star, and I'm going to expend one of my superiority dice.
Yes.
And do a sweeping attack where I damage another creature within 5 foot, which will be elf number three. So,
Pelsia.
I like the way, just from a narrative point of view, listeners and players, what we're not considering here is that the doorway, as much as it is a smoking wreckage which is on fire, currently has both a crocoborn and a giant spectral phallus in it. As the crocoborn is slowly patting out flames on the hood of the phallus.
Oh, yeah.
As it crackles, Hunash just bursts through the middle of them, pushing his way between the shaft and the crocodile. The giant green form of Hunash blazes onto the scene, holding a Morning Star, swinging at elf two.
You're forgetting how athletic Hunash is. He looks at this and it's almost like a horse, like a gymnastic horse, as he kind of swings around again, up and down, and like to really showing off, but without needing to do a skill check.
Make me an attack roll against elf two.
Here it comes. Get ready. 24.
Hits.
It's really cool, but it doesn't need to make a skill check. And everybody knows. Everybody just gets it.
Oh, just get it, man. So 11 damage for elf number 2.
Woo! So the first of these, because you're swinging, aren't you? So the first one smashing into the side of the skull of elf number 2. His face already slightly ruined, his eye slightly melting, the morning star just cracking his ocular cavity as you just see a massive ruptured dent in the side of his face as he groans and howls. As your swing, the morning star carries on in its arc, heading towards elf number 3, who's grasped tightly in the jaws of a crocodile.
That one gets a whopping 5 damage. Kapow!
Does it automatically hit the second target, or do you need to roll for the second target?
Yeah, no, the first
auto target. The form of the elf in the crocodile's maw, its neck already ruptured, blood just gouting out the front of its lips, rolling down the front of its alabaster white chin. You smash it across the top of the skull, just scraping. The elves have beautiful blonde hair, which is immaculate, as your morning star just rips part of the scalp off, pinning the elf's scalp to the doorpost, or what's left of it. You see that elf is hanging on by a thread. You just see this look in the elf's eyes that just says, kill me now.
Well, I'll indulge him, man.
He's starting to regret his life choice. Right, what's next? Have you got a second attack, or...?
So, yeah, I got a second attack. Actually, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna go second wind, and I'm going to have another 2 attacks, because that's how I fucking roll. Not second wind, sorry. What is it where I get another attack? It's something.
Action surge.
Action surge, yeah.
Action surge. Do I even have it? Yeah, there it is. I've just got so many things.
I got so many things, guys.
And I'm going to use Battlemaster, or whatever it is, to... I don't really... Actually, no, I don't need to do this, because he's hanging on my friends. Oh, fuck it. I'm going to take 5 off my hit to do an extra 10 damage. So, let's see if this hits. Oh, fuck. I'm going to use Lucky Dice to re-roll that.
Not the feet, he just wants to roll again.
Just feel lucky, listeners. Just feel lucky.
13 to hit.
Misses. As the elf hanging on by a fucking thread, the side of his face is half melted, his neck is crushed open by a crocodile, the top of his weave is missing, just pinned to the doorpost. As you swing at him, he closes his eyes, waiting for the impact that ends his life. As your arm, the side of your sleeve, gets tangled up in the crocodile's claw, as you can't get the full swing in, as he just opens his eyes, staring at the spike on the morning star, which has stopped like centimeters away from his eyes. You've got one more attack, I believe.
I say strike one, and then I pull back as a baseball swing. Almost like that guy from The Walking Dead.
That's fucking awesome.
And I go, and it's 25 to hit, and I just... Hit. Oh, man, it's in the hips. It's smooth as you like, through the skull.
Head just sails off.
Ripping your sleeve off, you hear it like shredding on the crocodile's claws. As you swing back, fury in yourself at having been held back, you swing again, just hitting the elf so hard in the side of his head, you feel his neck crack, and you see part of like the lump on the side of his neck where his vertebrae is like pushing on the side of his neck, his body just going limp and falling backwards. Elf number 3 is dead.
Ooh, so... When I reduce a creature to 0 hit points...
He only had 1 health point, by the way.
Nice.
It's your great weapon master.
Yeah. So when I 0 health, then I can make another 1 melee weapon attack.
Cool. You've got an elf on your left and an elf on your right. A phallus behind you and a crocodile.
I guess I'm going to go for elf 2 again. So let's make another morning star, and I, as soon as I do it, like while it's still in his friend's skull, I just look around to him and then I smile, and I get 27 to hit.
Yes, that hits. He's just wearing leather armor, yeah.
And he gets a whopping 11 damage. Pew.
Yeah, as you swing, he goes to duck back, and the Morning Star pins underneath his chin, crushing his head against the doorpost. As you rip the Morning Star out, you just see blood gushing between his fingers as he's just trying to staunch the bleeding. The elf just coughing and spluttering as he looks at you, as he just falls to his knees, collapsing on the floor, just choking and bleeding out on the floor. There is now one elf left. You've just killed two elves in one turn. Well done.
Nicely done.
Is that you done, Hanash?
I wink at the guy and I'm done.
Winking is a free action.
You're next.
Jerry will be happy.
Jerry will be happy.
This will come up in your performance review.
There we go. Top of the round. Tati, you're up.
Where I am now... Can I see elf number one? I know you said that part of the doorway was like blown out.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I will take out my shiny new short bow and take an attack. He's still restrained, so I get advantage. I'll use sharpshooter as well to take minus five to get plus 10. That is... 19 to hit.
Hits.
Yippee! It's been a while since we've had a fight. I need to see how much damage I do. Okay. 29 damage.
Fuck me. 29 damage. Your arrow flying true. It's a great shot because the swirling form of the blue spectral phallus and the crocodile are just moving from left to right as you wait for the moment, as they just move to one side, finding the gap in the wall as the arrow just flies true, missing everything and just embedding in the rib cage of the elf. You hear the wind knocked out of him as he grabs the shaft with both hands, looking at you with fear and genuine fear, having just watched two of his kind hacked down by a raging orc with a Morning Star. He looks down at the blood now seeping between his fingers as he holds on to the arrow in his chest. Nothing more to do?
Can I throw a dagger at him as a bonus action? I don't know. I think I can do that when I'm using two weapons, but
yeah,
I don't know if I can
without using a melee attack the first thing.
Yeah. I'll just hide as a bonus action behind the fireplace. That's a lousy stealth roll. I got a 14.
Ducking back down into the warmth at the edge of the hearth. What's Barbara doing? Are you shoving her turn?
I'm keeping her next to me. I'm just making sure that she doesn't duck out from behind the fireplace.
Okay. It is elf number one's turn. Elf number one isn't technically in combat with you, Hanash, so it doesn't have to disengage. Having watched both of his allies be hacked down by an orc with a Morning Star, taking an arrow to his own chest... He looks at you for a while, Hanash, weighs up the value of trying to attack you in his weakened state, and he is going to use his movement to hot tail it down the corridor, doing a double dash.
Am I not going to get an opportunity to attack because he's going to have to go past me?
I will give you one in the corridor, yes. So as he passes you, make me an opportunity attack.
18.
Hits. Just. Well, not just, a little bit over.
6 damage.
Oh, fuck you. You had 6 health left. How would you like to do this? I should say that with more enthusiasm. How would you like to do this?
I want to do it like Final Fantasy style. I go to get him with the Morning Star and I just like clip his ankle and he trips up and falls, but there's just like a loose floorboard up, but it's like razor sharp and he just like puts his neck on it and just slices him up and then he bleeds to death.
Yeah.
Wait. Do you mean Final Destination, not Final Fantasy?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember Cloud ever doing that. Like, I don't remember some poor Shinra fucking officer getting...
Yeah,
yeah, there's particles flying everywhere. It's madness.
All right, this is what happens. The elf looks at you, Hanash, sees the exit down the end of the corridor behind you, realizes he's got one chance, goes to sprint past you. As he has to push past you in the corridor, you've already swung your Morningstar back. As you bring it round in a wicked arc, you crack him on the ankle as you feel bones splintering. You watch him pinwheel round his own axis, slamming into the ground. As he looks down at the shattered form of his own ankle, he starts crawling backwards across the flaming floorboards as you just slowly walk towards him. As he looks up at you with fear in his eyes, you just take your boot and stomp his skull down into the floorboard as, yeah, he's caught on like a raised part of the floorboard as it just crushes into his neck. As the ruined part of his neck, just with splinters of wood sticking out of it, he just slowly gurgles and takes his last breath. That is... all the elves dead, and we are out of combat.
Boom.
Quick save.
Yep, we just take a quick save there. We're just going to... the game would auto-save, but you're out of memory.
Oh, God.
As you look around, you see now the adrenaline just, you know, pumping. You look around, you see Jeffrey and Peter are hiding underneath two of the beds. Luckily, not the one that got blown up by... the fireball. You look at the wreckage where the door was. There's just a flaming crater. One of the beds is destroyed. There's just flaming kindling everywhere. And you hear screams coming from downstairs. What are you doing?
Can I firstly go to PB&J and just like, I'm so sorry for using you as sandbags to weigh down the door. No hard feelings. Hashtag bros.
As Pete or Jeffrey, it's hard to tell them apart. He's like, don't worry about it, it's fine. 8 silver pieces a day, I expect a little bit of this. More exciting than being a fisherman anyway.
Can I beat them?
What? No, just because you pay them doesn't mean...
Not in a... Not in like a... How, in like, a... in a
live-in help works.
Not like a violent way, just in a...
In a...
just like you get like a rolled up newspaper and you don't actually hit them hard. You just
exactly.
Kind of like, you just kind of like,
yeah.
boys, stop it.
Yeah.
Not in a violent way, just in a respect my authority way, you know, just laying down the law.
Yeah, they have to think it's violent so that they respect your
authority. Above the table talk, is this because they're talking to one of your friends and not addressing you as their lord and master? Or why the beating?
They acted cowardly they should have thrown themselves to protect me. I'm very disappointed.
All right, make me a persuasion check.
Can it be intimidation?
Sure, make me an intimidation check. Yep.
I think
it all comes out of charisma anyway, doesn't it?
I rarely get to intimidate. That's a 14.
Nah. You look at them as Jeffrey's like, yeah, but you ain't paying us enough to be violent. You want to hire us as mercenaries? That's another thing. You hired us to carry a coffin around.
I suppose you're right. As the opposite of beating them, I give them like a half-hearted tap on the shoulder, and I'm like, I suppose you did the best anyone could ask in the situation. But it doesn't mean I'm not angry. Expect this at your performance review.
What is it with our campaign and performance reviews?
As you say that, he just points over at your coffin. You notice that your like ramshackle coffin is like starting to catch fire through some of the flaming embers.
My coffin. Quick, lads, save my coffin.
As they both go over and just start, like, they take one of the duvets off one of the beds and just start flapping it over your coffin, putting the flames out.
Or fanning them.
Backdraft!
Truly, who knows? Yeah. So, is it still daylight outside?
Oh, gosh. What did we say it was then? Early evening. I'd say it's about 8 o'clock now.
Okay.
In reality, I'd just like to say, listeners, that fight lasted about 20 seconds.
12 seconds.
Yeah, less than 20 seconds.
Not that much.
Anyway, it's fine when Daddy Honey gets involved.
Tati fired an arrow, fired a warning shot and said, no one's in here. And then an explosion happened. And then Hunash just battered three guys until they died. Okay. Is there, like, can I still see the sun outside, is what I'm saying?
Not directly, it's not in the sky. It's at that kind of, do you know that golden hour? As the sun's just starting to set and everything's got that kind of beautiful bronze look about it in sort of like early evening. It's got that vibe.
We love the golden hour. Okay, here's my pitch. Are there windows in this room? I really hope there is.
Yes, there's one window. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 windows. According to the map, someone's pushed a wardrobe up against the window, which is just poor feng shui. I count at least 4 windows. Fucking civic cloacas feng shui is horseshit, listeners.
I'm going to look at these two and I'm going to say, look, here's my pitch. I go get us a carriage. If I get out the window, I can go get us a carriage and pull up outside and we can haul ass to the Sirius Mountains. Or alternative pitch, I don't have a preference. Alternative pitch, if you don't want to be vampires, we could also do that right now.
Oh. I think we need time. I think we need time.
That's cool. I say to everyone, I say, look after Barbara. I kind of like jump up onto the windowsill, like with my knees bent, and I look around at everyone and I say, I'm going to find us a ride. And I open the window and use my slippers of spider climbing to just like walk down the outside of the inn.
Oh, beautiful thing to behold. So Tati, as you just, almost like a release, it's almost like cathartic after all of the adrenaline of the fight, just being able to stand high up on the building and look out across the rooftops at the city of Nicodranas as the sun sets. It's absolutely stunning view. You can see the spire of the cathedral. You can see out across the quayside, and you can see the water going off to the horizon as the sun dips just over the edge of it. As you walk down the wall, one hand on the drain pipe for safety, even when you've got spider slippers on, you make your way onto the back of the busty barnacle.
Can I shout out after him, just, if you go by the funeral home, ask them to hold my order for me. The order is Q. That's Q for Quebec.
Just prestidigitate the QR code.
A for Alpha. And then there's 10 digits.
You just, like, there's a literal 2-second pause, and then I go, What are the 10 digits?
7.
Yeah.
2.
Yep.
And so on and so forth.
Those are the only numbers you know. You don't even lie. You don't know the numbers.
It's like a, there's like a pointy one. looks like a fork, kind of.
Wait.
You know the one I mean.
Wait, can you not read? Is this something that we need to address? I'm going to get us a carriage.
Tati, as you make your way to the ground, you come out of the alleyway at the back of the Busty Barnacle. You see to the front of the Busty Barnacle is the winding stair that leads up to the cliff tops where the Church of the Blind Beggar is. At the back of the Busty Barnacle, you see like a byway with various people coming and going. Make me an investigation check.
16.
You have to wait a moment, just biding your time as you rub some of the soot out of your eyes. You realize how sore and dry your eyes are from the flaming wreckage of your room in the Busty Barnacle. As after a while you hear the noise of grinding wheels on cobbles, you realise, much like buses, you wait a while and then two come at once. You look to your left, you see a wagon being pulled by two horses full of vegetables. And you look to your right and you see an oversized carriage coming the other way. And as you look at the carriage and investigate it a bit further, you see that it is in fact a hearse with a coffin in the back.
I'm taking a deep breath. I can't not do what I'm about to do. I want that to be made perfectly clear. Tati just mutters to himself, "It's so on brand. Like, they'd kill me if I didn't take it." I'm gonna head. Did you say it's on the other side of the byway, like coming the other way? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll head over and I'll put my hands up in front of the hearse. I'll say stop. I'm so sorry to interrupt you. I assume the only way into it is to walk around the side of the carriage.
It's a long carriage. It's got a coffin in the back. It's a beautiful black shiny hearse carriage. It's got like a gold rail across the top. On the front are two horses, and it's got just one person who's almost like on the driver's seat, just sitting on the top of the carriage. If you will, if you can imagine, he's got a top hat. He's got a meticulously groomed beard. He's in a suit, like a mourner. You know, being a hearse driver, you know, you got to look the part. I need you to make me a persuasion check as you tell him to. Well, as you sell him this story.
Yeah. So that. Yeah, that's me telling him to stop. That's a 15.
15. He's not going that fast. You can't speed in a hearse. It's disrespectful. But he still sees you at the last minute as you make your persuasion. He grinds to a halt. You can see the sparks kicking up off the cobbles as the horses draw to a halt. You close your eyes slightly as you look up. The horses have stopped maybe a foot in front of you as he looks down. You step to one side. He looks down from the driver's footboard as he's like, "Right, how can I help you?"
I mean, I've got the slippers of spider climbing if I need them, but I'm literally going to like get up close to him. I'm going to like jump up on top of the thing next to him. And I'm just going to like put my hand on his shoulder and I'll just be like, I'm new to town and I could really do with some directions. I'm going to like, while I'm really close to him, I'm going to pull out a dagger and just hold it like where no one else can see it. Like against his chest, and just be like, "Let go of the fucking reins. Give me the reins. Give me the reins now. This is GTA rules now, bitch. You thought I was Michael? I'm a Trevor."
I got that one. Make me an intimidation, please.
Okay. It's a 9.
Do you know what? You're covered in soot and blood and you're looking slightly deranged. I'll give it with advantage. You're a desperate man.
Okay.
I'll give it to you. I think that's within narrative reason that if somebody walked up using spider boots to walk up the side of my carriage and held a knife at me, I'd probably be...
Hold that, sir! Beep, 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 beep. That's a 17.
A 17, right, that's better. His eyes going wide, he's like, all right, there's already one body here, I don't need to be two. Look, don't do anything stupid, all right? This is just a job, I get paid. What do you want? Do you want money?
Step down, calm-like, give me the reins, and also give me the top hat.
He steps backwards, he hands you the reins, he's like, all right, just don't know me, I've got children and a wife. As he takes the top hat off and puts it on you, it's ill-fitting, but it looks excellent. As he just steps away, just melting back against the wall, he's like, all right. I don't want no problem here. As you're now in possession of a top hat and a hearse, having blown a weapons-grade hole in the middle of your inn bedroom in your bid to escape the elves, that, listeners, is where we are going to pause this week's episode.
Just like the idea of Tati failing that intimidation check, he would have just been like, "Look, I've had a long day. I've been inside the same hotel room for a long time.
That was amazing. What an episode. We crammed a fuck ton into that.
I can't believe that's our last episode ever.
Campaign over. Good job, guys. We nailed it.
Can't believe we beat the big bad elf number one.
That had some absolutely amazing bits in it. Like,
and his lackeys, elf number two and elf number three.
I can just check like which elf was Oberon.
None of them.
Not really. Yeah.
Only one of the elves had magic. All of the elves had holy water, but only got to deploy it once because you fucking tied them up so convincingly. It was fun. I think it balanced really nicely. I was trying to work out what we could fit into one episode and without it overhanging. Probably could have tested you a little bit more. But I think you got to, you know, it's pretty cathartic. You got to stretch your... And all Chris Ragg wants to do is cause chaos and bloodshed, and I think he got that in abundance. So
I really enjoyed that episode. I know I started saying that was all business and was going to move the story forwards and then turn it into a bottle episode.
Fun. And also D&D maps. What a game changer, right?
Yeah. I've sorry, I've just seen...
Gelatinous
cubes. I love that we fucking rolled.
absolute game changer. I can't believe there was all these gelatinous cubes on the map and we just missed one by one. We missed all of them.
I had to draw maps for all sorts of different contingencies depending on where you got to. I've drawn the downstairs, I've drawn the upstairs, I've drawn the streets outside, I've drawn the cliff tops. I even drew some woods just in case you made it all the way out of the city.
Can we also have a shout out for Matt Durant workshopping bits for his character's name by changing the name of his token? Earlier on, it was the Fresh Prince of Belciar, and now it's Dead Prince of Belciar.
Amazing.
I think if I haven't already come up with Fresh Prince of Belciar, I think maybe I already used it on my name once. But
that's amazing.
Dead Prince of Belciar, but I think I'm pleased with that one.
That's awesome. That was much more inventive than my name.
The Stale Prince of Bel-Air.
Thought Aristobulus was the Fresh Prince of Bel-End.
Yeah, that's true.
There we go. Right, before we let you go, listeners, we just want to say a massive thank you for tuning in for another dollop of fun-packed fantasy fucknuggetry. Now, seeing as you made it this far, why not consider hitting that subscribe button and never miss another episode again? Better yet, if you're feeling fruity, why not consider giving us a 5-star review on whatever podcasting platform you are on? All of your reviews and recommendations really do go a long way towards spreading the word of our misadventures far and wide. Now then, if you fancy chatting to us about anything you've heard across the course of this episode, your best bet is to come find us on the platform formerly known as Twitter, X, where you can find us at AdventurersANO1. If you want to catch up with Mr. Chris Neal, you can find him on Instagram, which he runs, where he is often doing fun stuff. Mr. Chris Neal, quickly tell people about your adventures with Actual Play UK.
Yes, I don't know when this episode is going to come out, but I've been playing in a 3-part series with Actual Play UK. Sorry, the guys are playing with the map on D&D Beyond, and it's extremely, extremely focusing. It's not distracting at all to what I'm trying to say.
A fucking dragon turtle in the middle of the map.
Yeah, I have been playing in a great game of 5e with Dan from Tales on Tap, Ben from No Small Roles, Sam from Science and Sorcery, and John from the Trolls of the Two Ton Bridges podcast. And it is currently airing on Actual Play UK's Twitch channel, 31st of January, 2nd of February, and 9th of February. So... yeah, if you don't catch it on Twitch, then it will be on YouTube at some point.
Fair enough. I'm sure it'll be available on demand on YouTube at some point. I managed to catch some of it, and it was an absolute hoot. Very different to our style of play, and interesting to see you taking on different roles there, Mr. Neal. But lots of fun, and I would heartily recommend it to all of our listeners. Right, now that we got that plug out of the way, that just leaves us time to say a huge goodbye from the Green Angel of Death himself, Mr. Chris Ragg.
Have a lovely bloody time. Goodbye.
It is a massive goodbye from the Fresh Prince of Belciar himself, Mr. Matt Durant.
Adios, amigos.
And finally, it is a massive goodbye from your favourite gnome archer himself, Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Chris Neal.
That's a direct hit, baby.
Ooh.
Catch you on the flip side. Cool cats. Cats and kittens. Grab your mittens.
Interesting. Right, with any luck, we'll see you back here next week, listeners, for more adventures. But in the meantime, remember... Stay
delicious.
Tipsy. Did you say stay delicious?
Tipsilicious.
Oh, dipsilicious. Okay.
Tipsilicious.
Oh, tipsilicious. Jesus Christ. All right. Keep it tipsilicious. Right. Who's calling us out? Who's got the catchphrase? Which of you bastards is it?
Someone else said it earlier. You can.
Matt Durant, do you want to do your best Chris Neal impression?
Oh, no.
That's a hit, baby.
No, Chris, you don't do it. Matt, do it. Come on.
Oh, no. Oh, I've got some self-examination to do. Oh.
That sounds filthy. And on that note, goodbye, listeners. We're going to let Chris Neal do some self-examination.
Self-examination.
Bye. Could you have picked a more filthy thing to say than I've got some self-examination to do?
Look, self-examination is healthy. Everyone should do it. In every sense of the word.
You'll go blind, Mr. Neal. You will go blind. Adventure is out.